and welcome to Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the podcast series that takes a look back at hundreds of thousands of miles of stories along the Hurricane Highway. I'm your host, Mark Suddeth. Thank you for joining me. This is the next to the last episode for this season as we wrap up season one of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. Season two will begin the first Wednesday of December. Whatever day of December that is. I haven't even looked that far out in time. This is April 22nd, 2020, and we got to get to December. That's a long way away, so we'll deal with that then. But yes, this will return in December, the first Wednesday of December. We will pick up where we leave off. We still have tonight's episode. Well, I'm recording it at night. You are listening to it whenever. But I'm recording this episode today, April 22nd, and we got one more episode after this that'll be kind of like a wrap-up, tie-up loose ends kind of deal, and then maybe a little bit of a teaser as to what to look forward to. Just miscellaneous stuff. That's what we'll go over in the last episode, the last story, if you will, of Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the podcast series. Hey, don't forget, in related news, The Hurricane Highway, which is the television series that I'm working on, and it's more of a TV type series than it is like a movie. You know, instead of a 2-hour documentary, it's a television series. It's going to be 8 parts. Parts 1, 2, and 3 are already on our Hurricane Track Insider site. And for all patrons and all Hurricane Track Insider supporters, you have access to that. I will put a link to it where the gallery is of all of our original content, all of the Tracking the Hurricanes documentaries from 2004, 2005, 2008. Then we skipped a few years. We had 15, 16, 17, 18. And they're all on this link that I'm going to post in the Patreon update where I put this episode. Does that make sense? Not really a description. That's more YouTube. But you know what I'm saying. And then the first 3 episodes of The Hurricane Highway, the new series, those are there too. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, already got them done. And it's good, you know. I'm doing it on a $900 laptop with no production budget to speak of. You know, I'm not doing it with a $200,000 a year budget. In fact, I'm able to do this because of what you are helping me with. And I very much appreciate that. And you can see the power of that in the series, in this podcast. I'm able to do this each week thanks to your support. So we're doing a lot. We are. We're moving forward. And hurricane season 2020 is almost here. And so let's get on with it. Let's talk about the last field mission of the year 2004. That's the year we're in. So I think this is part 7 of 04. If memory serves, and we're up to Hurricane Jean, and another Category 3, another landfall in Florida, and I was there for it, pretty exhausted by this point in time, had just returned from Hurricane Ivan not long before it was time to head out again, this time for Hurricane Jean. All right, so the date, it was like Monday, September the 13th, if I recall, that the first advisory on Jean was issued by the National Hurricane Center. It was just east of the Leeward and Windward Islands area, just east of the Northeast Caribbean. Looked like it was going to move across Puerto Rico and maybe into the southeast to central Bahamas. And, you know, Hurricane Weary Florida, after dealing with Charlie and then Francis, and then Ivan, which affected the extreme western panhandle, you know, folks were pretty much battered and bruised and just done with it. But it wasn't over. Here came Jean, and for a little bit it looked like maybe we were going to get lucky, that Jean would eventually track north, at least the guidance was suggesting it, that it would track north and maybe just kind of go out to sea, kind of do a Dorian where it comes in, scares the heck out of everybody. Of course, Dorian made landfall in North Carolina, but it looked like we might get off the hook for Jean, put it that way. I try not to mention future events too much, but whatever. Just giving you some context. So as time progressed, you know, of course, Gene moved over Puerto Rico, and it brought rather inclement weather there. It goes without saying. It was a tropical storm at the time, if I do recall. And so as the days passed, again, it looked like, well, maybe this is just going to kind of dilly-dally around. Maybe it'll come into the U.S. You know, it was just weird. I remember that. It was like, I don't know what it's going to do. It was frustrating. Yeah, how many times have we heard that? And then it looked like, well, maybe it'll go north of the Bahamas and just kind of sit there. And maybe if it sits there long enough, a trough will come along and kick it out to sea. So we waited. And we waited, which was good because I got some time personally to kind of decompress after the Ivan situation. And so what eventually ended up happening, if you know the story, is Gene did this clockwise loop out in the Atlantic north of the Bahamas, northeast of the Bahamas, and then came back at the United States. It kind of got trapped out there. It did this clockwise loop, kind of slowed down, became sheared, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. And then it kind of looped back around again, still, in this clockwise fashion. And finally, as we know, it made landfall in Florida. But it was interesting because there was times that when it was doing this very slow loop, I remember, it might go up to the Carolinas. No, I don't think so. It might sit there a bit longer and maybe it'll dissipate. No, I don't think so. Maybe it'll come back towards Florida. We're not sure. Maybe. And it was just days of this. Remember, the first advisory was issued on the 13th. So by September 22nd, it's still out there. It was. And in fact, I remember the forecast track had it coming back and kind of like what Hurricane Dorian 2019 did, affecting the Bahamas. This is what the track showed. This isn't what happened, as we know, with Gene. And it looked like it was going to come up and hit Wilmington, like right on me. So that was like the 22nd. And then it kind of changed at that point. It looked like, oh boy, I think this is going to come on into Florida. A strong ridge of high pressure built in over the western Atlantic, late September. Gene resumed this westerly heading and kind of made up its mind, so to speak. Yep, it's going to come on in, and it looks like it's going to hit Florida, okay? And right where Francis had done its landfall at the beginning of September. You know, in the Sewell's Point, Hutchinson Island area. It was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But, it wasn't a joke, it was real. So, off we go. Who is it? Well, it's myself and Eddie Smith. We are the last survivors of the 2004 hurricane season that can still go on the road. Of course, it's my job, so I'm going to be there. I had Lowe's and Sprint supporting me very much with their sponsorship/partnership dollars. And, everything else they did, too. It wasn't just the money, but, just all the logistical help. And, of course, I had my crew, Jesse, Eddie, John, and then other people on the periphery that would help out. This is all before social media like we know it now, but had a great following of people, lots of encouragement. We scored very big with the Ivan mission, of course, and we're kind of celebrating that, if you will. And so I headed down into Florida for Gene with kind of this major sense of accomplishment. Eddie and I took off probably around the 24th or 25th of September, made our way down Cocoa Beach area, Canaveral, that area, towards where it was going to make landfall, and just followed it, followed the strike area, the line, the skinny black line that they say don't follow. Well, that's what we do have to follow. We kind of want to be where that intersects land. If you're going to intercept the line with your vehicle, which back in the day, of course, that's what we had to do. So we had the Chevy Tahoe and its anemometer system, but we had no hurricane landfall project infrastructure any longer because Ivan, I won't say destroyed it, but it beat up the vehicle, the Isuzu. Do you remember? We got it back to North Carolina and had it towed from Opelika, where it finally one of the wheels gave way, had it towed on a flatbed, got it back to North Carolina, and it was time to put it on eBay, and I'll talk about that. I did a little bit before. I'll talk about it again as we wrap up Gene. So Gene was pretty straightforward, to be honest with you. Went to Florida with Eddie and didn't really have much equipment or anything. It was basically going to be, well, we'll tackle it with the vehicle. We'll be very careful. We don't want another Charlie. You know, kind of learning from the past, but we didn't. We didn't have the Hurricane Landfall Project truck, the SUV, the Isuzu. It was, you know, toast. You know, it was sitting in my driveway, soon to be sold, like I said, off of eBay. So we just went down and kind of intercepted or chased, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. That's what we did. And it was very stress-free, as I recall. I was pretty comfortable with the whole situation. We had great cooperation and coordination with local emergency management people. Lots of media attention. You know, it was just, it was kind of like, all right, been there, done that. We're getting good at this now. But not too cocky either. We didn't take any unnecessary chances. Eddie kept me very steady. You know, we're not going out on any of the islands. We're not doing anything dumb. And we didn't. We didn't cross the intracoastal. We stayed on the land side of things, the mainland side of things. Gene makes landfall finally around the 25th, 26th, somewhere in there. The night of the 25th, I think it was, into the 26th. And we recorded, you know, some decent wind, shot a lot of good video. And I just remember how easygoing it was. I got to be honest with you. We hung out at a hospital. As I recall, we were in the Jensen Beach, Fort Pierce area, somewhere between there. I remember we ran recon on US 1 as some of the outer bands came in trying to intercept any tornadoes that we might have seen on radar. And remember, we didn't have radar scope like we do now. It's just everything was different back then. It's a wonder we ever survived, to be honest with you. Whew! But we did. We survived. And I remember it came in, you know, of course, at night, ramped up real good. Gene intensified right up till landfall. Made landfall as a Category 3, strengthening pretty solid all the way up to landfall. And we hung out at a hospital, kind of in the back parking lot of a hospital down there. Trying to remember exactly where that was. It might have been the Fort Pierce area. I remember we were up at the north side of the eye wall. And we got into the eye and just kind of hung out at this hospital. It was very well lit. They had emergency power. We didn't go in the hospital. We didn't bother them. But it was just a good area to be, a safe location, big parking lot, lots of media there. I did lose the back windshield of the Tahoe in Gene. We pulled up underneath real close to the emergency entrance, and there was a tree there, and just the wind agitating the branches of the tree, one of them kind of whipped around and caught the back windshield, the hatch thing of the Tahoe, and shattered it. It sounded like somebody fired a shotgun. And so we lost the back window or windshield, whatever you want to call it, of the Tahoe. That was exciting to have to deal with all the way back home. And we just kind of hung out, you know, got some, like I said, good wind readings, good pressure readings, played it very safe, played our cards close to the chest, as they say. Didn't venture out much. I mean, come on, it's nighttime. The area, it's just not safe to be driving around in a Category 3 hurricane anytime, much less at night, you know. And so we were on, again, the west side of Hutchinson Island, right along the intracoastal there, that lagoon or whatever it is that that goes along the coast. It parallels the coast, as you might know if you know the region. And once it made landfall, of course, and it was coming in, we were able to duck into this hotel, the hospital, and like I said, just kind of take refuge there. And I keep coming back to it. I remember how just easy it was, you know, not stressful at all. and which is a good thing. Reported data via email to the National Hurricane Center. You know, post a few updates on hurricanetrack.com. On, you know, no big deal. Even losing the back window thing of the Tahoe, goes with the territory. You know, it wasn't like a catastrophe. And so the eye comes over, things are starting to calm down. Gene was not, fortunately, was not going to stall or anything ridiculous like that. And I was pretty anxious to get out and about and do some damage video. And Eddie was very careful to pull the trigger too early, very cautious. He's like, I'm not driving out in that. And, you know, that was good. He kind of held me back. And it's really good to have that balance. This is what I'm talking about. It's not a couple of yahoos out there feeding off of each other's bravado. You know, even back then, this is now coming up on 16 years ago, we were mature enough as, you know, fairly young adults then, and, you know, still, well, I'm almost 50 now, but you learn a lot, right? But we did. We did. We played it safe, and I treasure that. I do, that we learned from Charlie and the other, I don't want to even call them mistakes, it's lessons. You learn things. You get schooled. The hurricanes will school you. And we were schooled that year, and we took note of it, and we did a good job. And so the sun comes up. We get out there. We're cruising along A1A out there. We're able to get out along the Intracoastal, whatever that lagoon is that's right there. There's lots of bridges that cross from here to there, out to the islands, the barrier islands. And I remember all the erosion that took place and, you know, is this damage from Francis or is this from Gene? You know, what? I mean, it was crazy. You know, damage on top of damage is kind of like when you get a big snowstorm and then you get a blizzard a week later on top of it. It's weird how that works. And this was the same thing. It was like, wow, okay, there's hurricane damage on top of hurricane damage. And, you know, we made our way up the coast, surveyed what we could, and went on back to North Carolina. There's really not much else about it. Gene, and I don't want to say it was forgotten, but if it was the only hurricane that year, it would have been a much bigger deal, you know, clearly. But it wasn't. It was the fourth hurricane to directly impact Florida. So it was almost getting to be old hat, you know. Not that people were used to it as in, okay, another hurricane, whatever. It was, you know, like a pain in the rear end for everybody down there, but it just didn't have the same bite, I felt. You know, it's like being hit while you're down, but you're not hit with the knockout punch. It didn't come in as a Cat 5. It was bad, but it could have been worse, I guess. You know, hard to explain. It's just one of those things. I just recall that it was like enough already, seriously. And luckily, as the end of the season, well, at least the landfall season, I mean, the end of September is hardly the end of the season, but it was the end of the landfalls for the United States. We didn't have any other landfalls that year, and Gene was it. We went on back home. No major incidents from, you know, the windshield getting knocked out, like I said, down at the hospital parking lot. Nothing, you know, no big deal. And we called it a season. That was it. And Gene went on up into the southeast, did what hurricanes do, recurving, got into the westerlies, and whoosh, off it went into the North Atlantic, you know, earning its place in the history books. At the end of September there. And the season wasn't over. You know, it continued on. We had Carl, which was a hurricane. Lisa, which was a hurricane. And then Tropical Storm Matthew, of course, many years later, we would have Hurricane Matthew in 2016. There was a subtropical storm. Remember, subtropical storms are more loosely organized, kind of have features. Some ingredients of a tropical storm, some ingredients of a mid-latitude ocean storm, and so they call it a subtropical storm. That was Nicole. And then finally, Tropical Storm Otto. Otto, O-T-T-O. That was actually at the end of November. So the 04 season kept on going. Nicole, by the way, it was around October 10th, subtropical storm, as I mentioned, and then Otto was at the end of November into the early days of December, really the first couple of days, December 1st and 2nd, and that was it. We were able to close out a very tumultuous 2004. We learned a lot that year and accomplished a lot, had an amazing, incredible adventure doing it. We really did, but we gathered at the time really, really, and I don't use this word a lot because it's used, I think, too much. It's overly used, and that's unprecedented. We did do some unprecedented things, things that had never been done before. There was no precedent that you could look to. You know, this was it. This was setting the precedent, and that was the Hurricane Landfall Project. Little did any of us know. We knew, yeah, this could be the start of something, but, and you hope for the future. Hey, we've got webcam images. We're able to capture video using big, bulky video cameras and video housings. You know, remember the scuba housings? Maybe this will lead to something down the road. We're able to use vehicles, well, the SUV known as the Isuzu, the little SUV there, as, you know, remote platforms, whatever you want to call it, the Hurricane Landfall Project vehicle. But we can't keep doing that. What are we going to do? Go out and go to a junkyard and buy like a $2,000 or even a $500 clunker? And as long as it can be towed, we're just going to keep putting vehicles out there? No, no, no. We knew we couldn't do that. And so the future was fairly solid. Like, this is the start of something. But what is it going to be? And you don't know. You know, you don't know the future. You have to, some of it, you make your own luck and you pave your own way by doing things like what we did in 04, persevering. And I remember I'd bounce ideas off of Jesse, Eddie, John, you know, it was just, you know, one accomplishment led to another. And that's what I remember so much about 04. And so what we did, like I mentioned last time when we talked about Ivan, I put the Isuzu on eBay. And the idea was, let's sell it to a collector, somebody that's just really into hurricanes. It's a piece of hurricane history. Let's just see what happens. You know, half stunt. You know, I'm not into stunts, but half stunt, half fundraiser. If it sells, great. So I made it just flat out $5,000. And a family out of Havelock, North Carolina, purchased it for their son. His name is Tim Bruno, and I'm sure he's listening. And by the way, Tim, I know Tim saw the stag, the white stag that I promised I would look for, and I did. I found it. I was encouraged by one of our other patrons as well. You know, if you ever find the picture, I think they referred to it as a unicorn, and it might as well have been. But if you haven't seen it, I posted it on Patreon recently, today, in fact, about the white stag that I refer to in the Ivan story of the podcast series from last week. But anyway, Tim Bruno was just a teenager at the time. His family in Havelock, military family, they purchased the Isuzu. I towed it up there behind the Tahoe. It was able to run enough, or not run, but you know, we fixed the wheel and I was able to tow it on the tow bar. And we delivered it to the Bruno family. Tim, all into hurricanes, weather, you name it. Very handy, skilled at tinkering with things. You know what I mean? Just one of those bright young men. And he was going to try to rebuild it, fix the engine, fix it up. Maybe it would become his first car. Who knows? And it was just something else. I remember, you know, towing it up there, how excited he was. And that's actually in the Ivan and then actually the end of the documentary of 2004, Tracking the Hurricanes 04, that's in there. I can't remember if it was after Gene. I think it was, because once I got back after Gene is when we took care of that. So check that out. I'll put a link to the that closing part or the whole series, whatever. I will put it in tonight's episode. I keep wanting to say description like it's YouTube, but you know what I'm saying. I encourage you to watch it. It's in there. Young man. Long time ago. Now he's 16 years older. Can you believe that? We all are. Well, Yeah, we are. So anyhow, I gave $2,500 of the $5,000 from the Bruno family to Lowe's, to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, and the other $2,500 reserved, stored it away to figure out what are we going to do next. What are we going to do next? And, of course, that's what we're going to get into months from now when we get back into this in December. We talk about what we did next. And, you know, you probably already know where this led. But, again, those background, intimate details that if I wrote a book and this was a book, that's where you'd read about them. I haven't had time to write a book. This is much faster. So, and this is probably more enjoyable than writing a book. That's probably got to be difficult. Maybe one of our patrons will know somebody or themselves works for a publishing company. And if you're ever interested in helping me to produce a book and publish a book, I would love to do it. And hey, we got all this material on tape, so to speak. Well, it's at least it's zeros and ones. There you go. We've got a good foundation. But you know, really, that's what this is all about, is these stories that I just can't put into a documentary, or the thing would be, you know, whatever, 20 hours long. You know, a Ken Burns frickin' series, The Civil War, right? We just don't have time for that. So this is the best way to do it. So you get these really nice details. And that's where we go next, you know, once we get back into this in December. But next week, as we wrap up the first season, I'll go over a few just random thoughts, things maybe I missed. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to go back and just look at the episodes and remember, oh, yeah, that's right, for this. I forgot to mention that. I'll talk about where people are now that we have met up to this point. You know what I'm saying? We're going to just kind of tie it all together and have a season finale wrap-up of the first podcast season of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. And then we take the time off, deal with the 2020 hurricane season, and we will return in December, the first Wednesday of December. Boy, imagine everything that's going to happen between now and then. Wow. But we already know what happened between 2005 and 2019. Isn't that weird how that works? Like, that story's already been written, and that's what we're going to talk about when the Hurricane Highway podcast series, the stories part anyway, resumes in December. But you know what? Like I said, next week, we wrap it up then, all right? And we will have a good time doing so. I'll have a couple of surprises for you. It'll be great. And then we're done, and it's time for hurricane season 2020. Oh, boy. Hey, as always, thank you for joining in and listening. I do appreciate it, your feedback. The encouragement from folks like, it was Miranda. That's the name. I remember now. Miranda, one of our patrons, was the one who encouraged me. I think she said, would love to see the video of your unicorn or the clip of your unicorn, something like that. And, you know, and the unicorn, I believe, was in quotes because it's like, oh, I know, right? It's like, it might as well have been. But honestly, you know, we don't have 10,000 patrons yet. And so we don't have thousands of people listening to the podcast. And that's okay. We're going to get there. We got to start somewhere. And I've only been on Patreon for a couple of years now where it's really grown in its momentum. But these little tidbits of feedback from all of you that do so, and this will grow as people start coming back to Patreon as the season gets here. They're going to have this whole podcast series waiting for them, and I can't wait to see the feedback then. But seriously, you know, Miranda, when she talked about, you know, show the unicorn or whatever, you know, I love that. I appreciate that. And then when I posted that today, Tim Bruno, as I just talked about, he mentioned that he picked up on the audio that was captured where somebody was talking about a vehicle being underwater. You know, that's kind of that background audio that you, I wonder what that was all about. That was the Isuzu that they were talking about. That was the videographer that was there to document. We were trying to do this pilot episode. Stuff like that. I should talk about, like, whatever happened to that. You guys were wanting to do a documentary. You know, if somebody was making one about you, whatever happened? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Next week, loose ends. We're going to tie it all up. wrap it in a nice package, put a bow on it, and send it out. Season one will be done and ready for delivery, whatever that means. It'll be finished and wrapped up. So really, thanks again for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Thanks for your support as well. It's been a lot of fun. We got one more episode to go. I'm looking forward to it. I am Mark Suddeth for HurricaneTrack.com. You've been listening to Stories from the Hurricane Highway. One more episode to go. I will talk to you again next week.